Hello and welcome to this service of the word coming to you from St. Martin's Church, North Nibley. It is absolutely lovely to be back. I haven't done one of these since Easter. And I'm pretty sure that I'm down to do next week as well. So that may or may not be a celebration on your part, depending on your view. But it'll be a celebration on my part because I do so enjoy doing this recorded service and getting out to all who are unable for some reason or other to actually physically come to church. So welcome to you all. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you on this sixth Sunday of Easter. And also with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And if you've got a Bible and a candle and you've got good house insurance, you can light your candle and open your Bible. Maybe at John 14, which is the gospel reading, and have that there as something to concentrate your thoughts on during the service. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. And receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The collect for today, Easter 6, the last Sunday of Easter before we enter into Pentecost and Trinity. Risen Christ, by the lakeside, you renewed your call to your disciples. Help your church to obey your command and draw the nations of the fire of your love to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our readings, I'm not doing a psalm today because the sermon is a particularly long one and I don't want you to burn your roast potatoes. So there is just going to be the two readings, the first one being from the Acts, chapter 16, 1 to 9. Paul and Silas went first to Derbe and then on to Lystra, where they met Timothy, a believer whose mother was a Christian Jewess, but his father a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the brothers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul asked him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he circumcised Timothy before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek and hadn't permitted this before. They went from city to city, making known the decision concerning the Gentiles, as decided by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the church grew daily in faith and numbers. Next they travelled through Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had told them not to go into the Turkish province of Asia Minor at that time. Then, going along the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus said no. Instead, they went on through Mysia province, the city of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision in his dream. He saw a man over in Macedonia, Greece, pleading with him, "Come over here and help us." Well, that settled it. We would go to Macedonia, for we could only conclude that God was sending us to preach the good news there. This is the end of the reading. The gospel comes from John chapter 14. I've started it at verse 22 because otherwise it doesn't really make a lot of sense. it should start from 23. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but his other disciple with that name, said to him, "Sir, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us disciples and not to the world at large?" Jesus replied, "Because I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. The Father will love them too, and we will come to them and live with them. Anyone who doesn't obey me doesn't love me." And remember, I'm not making up this answer to your question. It is the answer given by the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But the Father sends the Comforter instead of me. And by the Comforter, I mean the Holy Spirit. He will teach you much, as well as remind you of everything I myself have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I've told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you'll be very happy for me. For now I can go to my Father who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do, you will believe in me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This sermon was influenced in part by a sermon by Reverend Martin Dale of Tiny in Norfolk, so my thanks to him. My favourite book in the New Testament, and I'm reading it again at the moment as a nighttime reading, is the Book of Acts. I don't know if there was a film made about it yet, but I'm sure that it would make a really thrilling one. Acts was written by St. Luke. It's an eyewitness account of the dealings of the early followers of Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the surrounding occupied lands of Greco-Roman Empire, as well as Asia Minor, during the first century, between about 30 and 60 AD. It tells how the church grew from a tiny small sect of Judaism to a widespread religious movement in the first century. As a direct result of this movement, we today are also followers of Christ 2,000 years later. Let's look at the first 15 chapters of Acts as they pertain to today's reading in Acts 16. Don't panic, I'm not going to read to you all 15 chapters. In Acts, we see immediate fulfillment of the words of Jesus when the power of the Holy Spirit fell on the church and 3,000 were added to the followers after one sermon, and the church grows phenomenally in Jerusalem. We see that in Act 2. There was always going to be opposition to this great explosive growth of a new church, and so in Acts 4 we read of the Jewish authorities trying to put the movement down. And in chapter 7, we read of the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. And as Stephen is killed, a great persecution broke out against the church to really try and put it down. The murder of Stephen is a key event to get the church out of the comfort of Jerusalem and to take the gospel to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As a result, all in the church except the apostles flee Jerusalem, and they are scattered in Judea and Samaria. And it is specifically noted that Philip takes the gospel to Samaria. Then we hear of the conversion of St. Paul in Acts 9 and in chapter 10. How his followers had to lower him from a window in a basket at night time in Damascus, to get him out of the city in safety, because his teachings were firing up the Jews. We read of a watershed event, of how the gospel was taken by Peter to the Gentiles in the person of the centurion Cornelius and all his household. And the following chapters, we follow the progress of Paul and Barnabas, of what is known as the first missionary journey. In chapter 15, we read of the first church council in Jerusalem, where they are asked to settle the doctrinal matter which plagues Paul and Barnabas. Do Gentile believers need to be circumcised to become Christians? And the church leadership in Jerusalem speaks a decisive no as an answer. In the words of St. Peter, God made no distinction between them and us, for he cleansed their lives through faith, just as he did ours. And of course, that really opened up Christianity to non-Jews like us. Then, at the end of chapter 15, we read of the big sad split-up between Paul and Barnabas over the suitability of taking John Mark on the second missionary journey. As a result, Barnabas returns to his home island of Cyprus, and Paul sets off with Silas on the second missionary journey. And in Acts 16, we read of Paul taking the gospel to Europe for the first time, where it is spread westward, until eventually it reached North Nibley. And here we are today. In today's chapter, chapter 16, Paul has come from the east and he tries to get south into Bithynia, which is modern day Turkey. He then turns north and he tries to go into the province of Asia, and both times the Holy Spirit stops him. So he goes west and lands up in Troas, also in Turkey. Note that it was the Holy Spirit each time that stopped them going where they wanted to, and reflect that often we get an idea where God wants us to go, but the door closes. Paul and Silas were sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Very often God moves through circumstances. What we see as a lost opportunity may indeed be because that is not what God wants us to do. And even the great apostle Paul got it wrong twice. If you are prepared to allow God to guide you, there will be times when you get it wrong. But on this, the words of the prophet Isaiah are very encouraging. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." When God calls, he expects us to step out in faith. But he doesn't give us the final destination till we need it. Because it was God's call, Paul was very successful. On his arrival in Troas, Paul found a group of women, including Lydia, praying. And from that group of women, a new, very successful church was born. That is why God guided Paul to Troas. The emphasis being on God guided Paul, and not Paul going off his own back. I, personally, am emphatic about the work and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We base everything that we do when working as churches together team, everything we do, we base on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't we? It's the gift that Jesus left us here on earth. Our Church of England leaders are currently looking for a new archbishop. As long as he or she is the one chosen by the Holy Spirit, as I personally assume that the previous one was, I think that it wouldn't hurt the selection committee to prayerfully study today's reading alongside the account of choosing of David as the first king, whilst they are selecting the new Archbishop of our Church of England community. The Holy Spirit will guide them, but like Paul in today's reading and Samuel in the anointing of David, the committee must listen to what the Holy Spirit tells them. And we must all pray to support and strengthen and to plea that God's will be done, as I'm sure our brothers, the Catholics, did recently as they appointed their new Pope. Amen. So let us declare our faith in God. Let us say out loud what it is we actually believe in, what keeps bringing us to church or to this service every week. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we come to our time of prayer, and we begin by praying for ourselves for forgiveness for the last week, the times when we've spoke without thinking and done without thinking, and we've got it wrong. And we open up our hearts to God, who knows our hearts anyway, and we admit to it. We say, God, we've got it wrong, we're sorry, please forgive us. Wipe our sin away from us. And so we pray, Lord God, we've sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight. We are sorry and we repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we pray for those around us and the people around the world. Holy God, we come before you with thanksgiving for all your mercy and grace, and we give thanks for the beauty and wonder of the world around us as we bring to you our prayers of intercession and thanksgiving. Almighty God, we pray today for your blessing upon our congregation, upon our church at St. Martin's, and upon our benefice. May your presence be seen vividly in all that we do and say each day. We pray that your joy and your love will flow freely in and through us and out to everyone that we meet in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We've heard in the Gospel that Jesus left us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. Help us to be truly open and to truly trust the Holy Spirit to guide our lives in everything that we do. We pray for those parts of the world which badly need renewal and badly need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Inspire and lead our world leaders to constantly work for that day when all the world's people may enjoy security, peace, and a decent standard of life and equality. Lord, in your mercies, hear our prayer. Faithful God, your Son Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In our worship today, we testify to God's love shown perfectly in Christ, and we recommit ourselves to love and respect everyone that we meet. And we know, Lord, that that isn't easy for us to do, because we judge, and we bear grudges, and we don't like some people. But Lord, help us to realise that to be your disciples, we must follow your new commandment to love one another, and help us to realise that that means everyone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, in your great mercy, comfort and relieve those who are sick and injured, aged or distressed. And according to their needs, enable them to draw strength from you and know that you are with them in all their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those saddened by the death of a loved one, for members of our family who've died and whose anniversary we recall. Help us to draw comfort from the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of our church family. We remember now before God those who have died and those whose anniversary of passing fall at this time. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we bring our prayers together by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, Peace be with you. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with each one of you, and also with you. So we come to our time of going out to serve the Lord. And I'm just off to the church and school fete, and the weather is beautiful for it. So I hope that we'll have a good time meeting people and a prosperous time making money for the church fund. So we pray, faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. As I look out of my window, there is a little oak tree. It's probably about 6 foot tall, planted from seed, and it was put into the ground, and a mole dug its tunnel right underneath it, and that nearly finished it off. But 5 years later, it is now blossoming, or blooming as we should say, growing vigorously. And beneath it is Frank the pheasant, who eats me out of house and home with all his little gang of followers that he brings round twice a day. for his corn. And so he's sat there underneath the shade of the oak tree, which is a beautiful sight. And I just thought I'd leave you with that, and I'll be back again. I don't know, I'll talk some rubbish, I'm sorry. But it's just, it's lovely. Oh, Frank, they're taking in the shade. Right, I'll see you next week. Have a good week. Bye.